Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I'm so incredibly glad that you are here today. Today we are going to have an interview with Ryan Smith, and Ryan Smith is the CEO of LeafLink. LeafLink is a really cool company in an emerging marketplace. I dare to say a growing marketplace. That's kind of funny. LeafLink connects marijuana product producers with retailers. And I'll let that kind of unfold as to what exactly they do in the interview. And we're going to join Ryan, who's on the line with us now. Ryan, welcome to the show. So glad you're here. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having us, Ken.
Absolutely. Love to have you. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Ryan, you are the CEO and co-founder of LeafLink. Tell us a little bit about the LeafLink platform.
Absolutely. We are here at LeafLink, a B2B wholesale marketplace for legal cannabis companies. So we work with licensed operators like brands that are selling packaged goods to retailers that are typically known as dispensaries that vend them to patients and consumers.
I noticed when reviewing your website, you pretty much have the states listed that are available for general consumption, not just medical consumption. So do you work in states that are just medical only, or are you pretty much just...
Yep, we are live right now in 14 states. The majority of them are recreational, but we are active in states like Maryland and Arizona that are medical as well. We serve both. Usually, though, recreational markets have larger economies of scale, more operators to serve, so those are typically where we play. And we have now over 800 brands selling to more than 2,500 retailers on LeafLink.
So when we talk about a brand in this space, we're talking about an actual grower and producer or somebody that may be making a product as well?
So we think of brands as those that have typically packaged goods with consistent labeling and a mission statement behind them. Things like what we traditionally think of as flower, cannabis, plant product is more of an ingredient in things like drinks and edibles, vaporizer pens. We really target things that look the same time and time again, and we do think that's also the future of this industry.
Oh, I would definitely agree with you. So you are not necessarily connecting retailers with growers. You're actually going after a brand product that you're connecting with retailers.
There are some growers on the platform, but they typically have heavily branded flower. It's still a smaller piece of the whole pie of companies we serve. Most of them use that flower as a raw material in the final product that they're creating.
Tell me about how you guys deal with some of the difficulties in this. Obviously, cannabis is legalized at state level, but not yet, we hope, legalized at a federal level. That creates a lot of unique situation and difficulties for both brands and retailers. How do you participate in that, or is that not your problem?
We want to be as compliant and follow as many of the rules as we can that do exist. As you know, regulations, even in Florida, everything's changing very quickly. A few weeks ago, Michigan went legal. Utah has a medical program now. And so what we do is really keep our ear to the ground to see what markets are coming online and how we can serve them. Fortunately, a lot of our clients are growing too. So we piggyback off their knowledge. We have a cannabis council. We keep very up to speed on what news is breaking. So we know when the market's ready, we're ready to go live there.
What gave you the idea to start this? I mean, you're obviously in a perfect space. It's an emerging market space, and you're kind of getting in the middle, connecting brands with retailers and providing a place for retailers to find all of these varieties of brands without having to do crazy and detailed hunts. How did you come up with this idea?
So my co-founder, Zach, was at eBay previously, and I've always loved marketplaces. And we had this concept, everyone uses B2C marketplaces as individuals. Those same people go to work every day. why are they buying their products for their companies in any different way? This concept of a B2B marketplace really appealed to us. And we thought that if you think of the demographics in the cannabis industry, very progressive minded, really enduring entrepreneurs thinking about what's to come next and pioneers, that's the perfect place for us to play and really begin to create a new dynamic of a B2B marketplace, because most other industries have been doing it, have been running the supply chain the way it's been run for generations. In our industry, no one's really been in this industry, legally at least, for more than 5 or 6 years. So it's the perfect place to set a new standard, we thought.
Interesting. So describe to me what's different about you than the traditional supply chain.
Well, a lot of traditional supply chains, you think about liquor, for like an example to work off here, it is largely the same as it was post-prohibition, right? There's a forced three-tier distribution system. There are certain companies that need to actually touch the product for it to be compliant, like distributors. And a lot of that was built around assumptions of a time that didn't have many of the technologies that we have now. And so the luxury of that tech, that efficiency, we believe should be built into an industry from the very beginning, if possible. But a lot of them are working the way they've always worked, and they obviously work well. They can definitely work better, but it's hard to change, you know, it's hard to change behavioral patterns and the status quo of the way businesses, especially very large industry dominating businesses, are operating.
Do you think that this marketplace, B2B marketplace concept, will or can apply to other industries? Do you foresee LeafLink being the basis of what another B2B marketplace might look like in a different industry?
Long term, we love the idea of the cannabis industry and what we're creating here at LeafLink becoming this new standard, this new dynamic for other industries to emulate. And we talk about this a lot here on our team, but 3 to 5 years on the road, you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of regulations changing, there's new markets opening, there's news every day in our space, a lot of instability and change, but there will become a time that everything that happens here, as it figures itself out, as this industry matures, we do think others will look at it, because it's born in this time of tech and this luxury of efficiency that can really be cooked in early. So whether we are the ones that do that potentially, but we're very focused right now and doing the best we can, staying completely focused on serving the community that buys and sells on LeafLink every day.
I like how you're looking at, you've got a lot of work to do in your own space before you have to worry about working in other industries, obviously. But I like the fact that you're looking out at that, you know, potential future. As you know, kind of pre-call, we talked about that, you know, we want to dig into you, Ryan, personally, and kind of understand what makes you tick and how you operate and what's led to your success as an entrepreneur and the success of LeafLink. And so I'm going to pivot now a little bit and ask you some questions that kind of digs into you. So in a single word, characterize your life as an entrepreneur.
Execution.
I like that. Married or single?
Neither, in a committed relationship though.
Dinner and a movie out or dinner at home and Netflix?
Dinner, movie out.
Yeah. Is that you or is that her?
Both. We traveling so much and getting to experience in the cities we're in and like putting ourselves out there. She comes along for a lot of those trips. So want to like be present.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Not a big fan of either, but Star Wars.
You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be and why?
The first one that pops in is like some kind of like royal purple.
Royal purple.
A lot of contrast. It's like a rich color.
What are your hobbies?
Like I mentioned, traveling a lot. I was actually just in Tokyo 2 weeks ago for a little trip. Spending a lot of time, actually like bike and cycle a lot. And then always have like little side projects that I'm working on. One that is kind of wrapping up is I was pretty into like cryptocurrency mining and some of the trading there. So I spent some time building out those machines and just learning about them. And then I'm actually really active also like buying and selling stuff online, part of my love of marketplaces, but those are, you know, a few things aside from traveling and eating and going out with friends, drinking, all that. Those are a few things that I get excited about.
Crypto mining machines is a whole intense level of conversation that we should dig into sometime. What makes you happy?
Being free to explore new things and learn about ideas that most people, I think, are uncomfortable to jump in and admit they don't know very much. I think that's exciting to me, like the freedom to do that and then doing that. Improving every day and you know, pushing myself and our team, pushing ourselves here at LeafLink to beat ourselves yesterday, do better, move faster. That's really important.
What sacrifices have you had to make to be a successful entrepreneur?
So I appreciate that you say, you know, a successful entrepreneur. I very much feel there's so much more to do, and it's all, you know, pretty relative. There's way more ahead of us than behind us. But I was actually just speaking with a friend about this last night, but I think that there are certain things with the work schedules of people that are really, you know, committed, devoted to what we're building that, you know, you give up. So not going out all the time, you know, seeing friends and family not as much as maybe you would if the jobs weren't as demanding of building a company and working hard with everyone here at LeafLink. So those are things that are important, but I also, you know, every day you're one day closer to being dead. So it's important to move quickly when the energy is there and the excitement is present. So I think it's a fair trade and something that, you know, I'm making right now.
I understand that. I really do. I think that a lot of entrepreneurs I look at, you know, or talk with, and even for myself, we feel like we say that we trade off time for this, right? That's the trade. That's the sacrifice. We sacrifice time to do other things, but because we really love doing this, it doesn't feel like a trade at all. We're just kind of doing what we like to do anyway. It's just maybe something other than, you know, something else on the list, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I when people ask, you know, how many hours are you working, it just doesn't really make sense to me, because what we're building, the work we're doing is almost, I mean, it is, personally, it's my identity. It's what I'm always, you know, it's just, it's not work. It is, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's just part of my story, you know. It's not like there's personal time and work time. This is lifetime. This is what we're doing.
When we talk to young entrepreneurs, I don't think they understand how much time it's going to take to pursue their dream. They don't really realize that once they get sucked into it, if they have a passion for it, if they're doing it, I guess, for the right reasons, their own personal right reasons, they just never tire of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a new challenge and something to tackle that you didn't think would be there, but it is, and let's go.
Right. So we finished this interview, and you step outside the office and you find a lottery ticket and ends up winning $100 million. What do you do?
My first thing is like, who cares? I guess that would take care of our, if we needed any future capital or capital raise. And I could expand the equity that we own in the company even more. But at the end of the day, like we said, I'm doing what I want to be doing. And if that just meant I could get even deeper and do it even faster, then that's what we would do. But at the end of the day, like, my girlfriend teases me sometimes, I have, you know, a sock with a hole in it, or it's just, I'm very, like, these things that are, things come and go. I think what we create is what could be potentially a legacy. So that's more interesting. I think not much would change.
You align with almost every entrepreneur that I talk about or that I talk with. And we talk about this all the time. And that is that it's not a money thing. I think that people that are thinking about getting into business, young entrepreneurs, if they're thinking about getting into it and they're looking for their idea and it's all about I can make tons of money, they're probably in the wrong idea.
Yeah, it's definitely more than a cool opportunity that in 6 months you won't be excited about. And at the end of the day, I think a lot of times my generation might be somewhat different in that these material things are cool to have, but when you speak to a lot of people that are incredibly successful and they look back at, you know, managing 5 homes and a car collection and all these things just become headaches. And having a lighter load is more freeing sometimes than doing what you think needs to be done to deploy capital that's just sitting around.
They say there are 3 basic types of CEOs. There's sales, operation, financial. Which category would you put yourself in?
Sales and operation. I do love raising money, but I spend most of my time in the first two.
In your day-to-day world, I know you mentioned to me before we began that your co-founder is the CTO. So he's product-focused. That would, in a less or in a more traditional, less, you know, digital space, I guess that would be more of the operations side of it. What is your day-to-day? I mean, what does your day-to-day look like? What kind of things are you responsible for within the organization? What's in your wheelhouse?
So about a third of my time right now is really spent interviewing. We're on this kick of gearing up for what we think is going to be a pretty pretty intense in all the most exciting ways 2019. So probably a third of the day is spent on interviews or a little bit more. And then a good portion of time is spent on catching up with each of the teams, the leads of those teams, going over either setting goals or tracking and making adjustments around goals. And then the rest is really a good mix of speaking with investors, talking and thinking through some, you know, higher level strategic moves that we want to make in the coming quarters. And then, you know, kind of sprinkled in is whatever fire might be happening during the day and how I can help. Probably with a good mix of client conversations as well, just to learn and better understand, never get too far away from what's happening in our markets and the community that we're serving.
How important would you put it on that having good employees is going to be or has been to your current level of success or where you're headed in the future?
I think the team is everything. I know I'm very aware of what I can do, things I can do well, things I can't do that well, and that there are people with incredibly specialized, powerful skill sets and energy that they could bring to the team that we welcome that. I think one of the ideas, I heard a good quote a little while back that if a CEO walks into a conference room and you're the smartest person in there, you've hired a really crappy team. I've hired the wrong team. And that's very much something that Zach and I think about. We want people that are really complimentary, can elevate what we're doing to the next level. So I think it's everything. And we're a team now of just about 50. There's a lot of things that are moving faster and are happening just in a more deeply beneficial way to the community and our platform because we brought on leads that are a better sales manager than when I had to do it and are a better marketing lead than when there was one person on that team. And that's propelling forward, we think.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ryan of LeafLink, and we're going to have to pick up this interview tomorrow for a second part. So I hope that you join us on the Daily Drive tomorrow for the second half of the interview with Ryan Smith of LeafLink. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why is That Company the white label digital marketing provider for some of the biggest agencies in the industry? Because we get results, we retain clients, and we deliver profitability. Visit www.thatcompany.com to find out how we can make your agency more profitable.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, executive producer Jake Parrick, web guru Taj Royer, and the audio man with the plan, Shoddy. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.